take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show. Let's talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. Coming up in the next hour, Congressman Gary Palmer from our 6th Congressional District will be with us. Also, Paul DeMarco and Sean Ross. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now, always a pleasure to bring this next gentleman on. Runs a very good website called Climate Depot, but particularly important right now as it looks like the whole climate change shenanigans are back underway. Mark Morano joins us on the line. Mark, how are you this morning?
Very good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Mark, a few things. You know, it used to be, when the Democrats last had control of all levers of government, the legislative and the White House, the efforts on the Hill were, you know, basically just a standalone effort, like cap and trade. Remember, it makes it through the House there. And it was, you know, we had hearings and Al Gore would come testify and it would probably be snowing outside whenever they would do that. But now,
every time.
But now, when they talk about policies and dealing with anthropogenic climate change or whatever you want to call it, it's no longer just bills to deal with it. It's the justification for about 100 other things, including now, I guess, like this infrastructure plan. But does it seem? Am I mistaken here? Does it seem like there's been a change in strategy that now the means is climate change rather than the whatever it is, the rally around the calls, rally around the flag effort?
No, you are exactly correct. And here's what's going on. First of all, I have my new book out, Green Fraud, which details this strategy. It's a stealth strategy in essence. And what they've done is, as you correctly pointed out, in the beginning in 2003, then 2005, then 2007, then 2008, 2009, and finally passed the House in 2009 spring, I guess it was June, the cap and trade bill. It's the first time they ever did it after all those attempts. It never even came up for a vote in the Senate. Why? It wasn't because of evil fossil fuel funded Republicans or anyone. It was because of people like Senator Al Franken. It was because of about 9 or 10 Democrats who knew they couldn't sign on to it because their states were so energy dependent. It was never going to happen. Harry Reid at the time never even submitted the climate tax for a vote in the Senate. It just died. So what they learned from that, there's several things. A, you never go on at full force because the public isn't behind it. Even Harris polling CEO last year said climate has just dropped off the map. So what they did is Obama went through executive orders. Now we fast forward to President. Then we fast forward to 2019. They did the Green New Deal, which was a PR disaster led by AOC. The whole thing worked for free. No, free college and you don't have to work and environmental justice and all these other issues they threw in, get rid of airline travel. So now they've learned, and what Biden's done is a stealth Green New Deal. Every agency is a climate agency. They're doing it through financial. They're doing it through national security. They're doing it for the infrastructure, which I worked in the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. We dealt with highway bills when I was in the U.S. Senate. And we didn't have bills where 5% of the infrastructure bill, in quotes, was bridges and highways. That's all that they're doing, 5%. The rest of it is not only climate stuff, but all sorts of equity and health care and daycare and child care. You know, they put in every wish list, just like they did with the Green New Deal. And that's what's happening here. They can't sell it to the American people. They have to try to do it through fear, and they do it through stealth. And that's what Biden is mastering, the administration is mastering right now.
I mean, it's kind of a double whammy here with this infrastructure bill. But the overarching thing is, well, everybody's for bridges and roads. Okay, so you check all those people off. But then they come in with the second wave here. And, well, we also have to take into account rising sea levels and global warming or whatever. So we also need to do all of this, which is part of infrastructure. So they get the, you know, that polls were, well, the infrastructure part of it. Then they capture, I guess, their lefty kind of crazy base that believes this stuff. And that's how they build the public support for something that, maybe in reality doesn't have anything to do with either infrastructure or climate change.
And it doesn't. I mean, again, 5% is traditional infrastructure. What is the other 95%? It is every boondoggle you can imagine. It is a whole in fact, some of the advocates, like Vice Magazine and others, actually went so far as to say, this is the Green New Deal realized in the infrastructure bill. Others are saying this is essentially the reform or the attack on capitalism. They are transforming society. They use the words and the architects of the Green New Deal. With the infrastructure bill alone. But keep in mind, you have Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, all these new financial standards coming out. It's sort of going to be like a Chinese social credit score where banks and lending institutions can't lend to energy exploration, mining, drilling, anything with fossil fuels, because if they do, they're going to get lower scores, they're going to get dings from the government, and if they just invest in so-called renewables, which are providing less than 4% of our energy and which are not earth-friendly, as I detailed in the book, Green Fraud, then they get, all sorts of government breaks, tax breaks, subsidies, etc. So the government financially is choking off our 80-plus percent of our energy. They're doing it through regulations through every agency, now a climate agency. They're doing it through the infrastructure bill. And they're still going to introduce a Green New Bill. And we have a both domestic and international climate czar, Gina McCarthy, Obama's former EPA domestically, and then John Kerry, the international climate czar, dealing on the UN side of things. Kerry's going to be going to China, and China is loving this. China's building record numbers of new coal plants every week. And they're laughing at us all the way because they're exempt from all this, and they're going to agree in quotes to whatever Kerry says to make it look like they're going along. And meanwhile, it's going to continue to offshore our economy, our emissions, our energy exploration to places like Africa, where Chinese mines are running African mines of cobalt, employing child labor and horrible environmental standards. So we're in for it, and Republicans are clueless on Capitol Hill, as always.
Well, let me ask you about this. So I've talked to a few Republicans. Here's what they would tell me about the Biden administration. Biden, whatever you want to say about him, is doing his Biden thing. But they think that really who's really driving the train here on all this is the aforementioned John Kerry, that, when he was in his post-presidential campaign career, when he wasn't trying to think of really terrible deals with the Iranians, he's now taking up this cause of environmental policy. And that's why when you saw on the first day when Biden took office, you saw the offshore leases halted, you saw the Keystone pipeline halted, you saw all of these policies kind of happen just in a rush. That was all really because John Kerry is the guy that really has Biden's ear right now.
Absolutely. And John Kerry, he's looking for his legacy. John Kerry ran for president. I was there, actually, on election night in Boston at the Kerry headquarters. They thought they had won the presidency. I'm talking from 2 o'clock all the way till, I guess, around 10 o'clock at night. They were celebrating, festive, and then, of course, they lost, and the shock because the polls were all wrong. And John Kerry, in order to reinvent himself, much in the same way Al Gore did after he narrowly lost his election, took up the climate crusade, and this became their reason for existence. This is what John Kerry did as Secretary of State under Obama. He's the one that brought his grandchild to the signing of the UN Paris Agreement, announced we had saved the world for future generations as his granddaughter sat on his lap. But then a couple years later, they said, we didn't save the world, it wasn't enough, and now we need 20, 30 more Parises if we're going to have any hope of saving the planet. So there's never any way, there's no criteria in which they're happy, but you're absolutely right. John Kerry is a key motivator here. And here's the bottom line. Joe Biden is not a climate activist. Joe Biden has never really shown interest in this. He's paid lip service in decades and decades. You can look at his career. But he's not really in charge of this. I mean, he's ceded his whole platform and his whole presidency over to the Sunrise Movement, which is the youth climate group, to AOC, to Bernie Sanders staffers. So he is not running this climate issue, and he has absolutely ceded it to John Kerry and to Gina McCarthy on the domestic side and to the hardcore activists. So people who say, oh, well, that won't happen because Biden's more of a moderate. No, Biden's not really, in control of this right now. He's literally ceded this entire issue, which will be one of the signature issues of his term, climate, to these hardcore activists.
Yeah, it just seems that that approach, letting the activist wing guide the policy, is it makes it a lot more difficult. But you look at it, Congress right now, I think, yeah, maybe a lot of things could get just jammed through the House of Representatives. But do you get the sense of these guys, these Democrats on Capitol Hill, are looking toward the midterms, and then maybe that's what could that would be the saving grace here that slows some of this craziness down?
Well, in a traditional world, yes. But I don't think they're going to necessarily even vote on a Green New Deal in the next 2 years. But what's happening doesn't need to embarrass, involve, or put any pressure on congressional Democrats. What they're doing is they're remaking government, society. Okay, think of the best way to explain it is think of COVID-19. If, say you were a public health bureaucrat and you were lobbying for years, and we've had these people who argue, who thought we should have masks, who thought we should have very strict rules on people movement. And then suddenly you have a virus comes along that gives you this incredible opportunity, and whammo, suddenly the public health bureaucracy is literally dictating even to Donald Trump's presidency. You have Larry Kudlow, senior economic advisor, on TV, and I quote this in the book, "We don't know when the economy is going to open. That's up to the medical people." Feeding our entire economic decisions up to people like Fauci. So my point is, they learn from this. So we have Chuck Schumer urging President Biden to declare a national climate emergency. That would give him emergency-type powers that governors have had with COVID. Under these powers, you can extend a form of climate lockdowns. And that's essentially what they're trying to do. We have activists now saying under a climate emergency, you can't fly unless it's morally justifiable. Think under a COVID lockdown, you couldn't leave your house if you were at stay at home curfews, unless it was, you know, for a, what's the phrase they used? It had to be not medically necessary, but it had to be a justifiable reason to the state. Yeah, only essential services. And that's what we're facing here across the board is they're going to keep, they want to keep these kind of restrictions. The idea that we are compliant public, willing to do all this to flatten the curve for 2 weeks, which goes on endlessly. They want us to do that for climate, and they're not going to give us that choice. They don't need no stinking vote of Democratic lawmakers on Capitol Hill. They need a powerful bureaucracy, which COVID has already given them, and a compliant public, which the public is very compliant. You know, especially if you look at the Northeast, how compliant the public has been in New Jersey, New York. I mean, there's been great exceptions, but overall, you know, these governors haven't been recalled and thrown out of office yet, which I find shocking. But so that's what we're headed for. So I don't expect congressional Democrats to be put on the spot on this, at least not in the next year or so.
Joined by Mark Morato, Climate Depot, climatedepot.com. Y'all go check that out. Just a few more minutes here before I have to let you go, but the media, as expected, really milks climate change, environmental justice, all of those issues. Hey, here's a question for you. And I know there's a CNN video floating around out there talking about how they want to milk the climate agenda for, I guess, their own benefit. How is climate going to coexist with all of these other liberal, progressive priorities on that media landscape? How is it going to fit in into that puzzle?
Well, the reason climate has always been not just fitting in, it's been basically the king, is because the issue is power. And I actually explain in Green Fraud, I quote Richard Lindzen, the MIT scientist, listen, it's hard to imagine a better leverage point than carbon dioxide to assume control over society. And it goes on to say, if you demonize it and gain control, you so to speak, control everything. That's attractive to the progressives. Now, Richard Lindzen said this quote many years ago. Let me repeat the key phrase. It's hard to imagine a better leverage point than carbon dioxide to assume control. Well, actually, I apologized publicly last year because there is a better leverage point, a virus. Viral fears has replaced climate change as that leverage point to control every aspect of our lives. You can't leave your house. You can't have a backyard barbecue. You can have utilities cut off. How many people do you have over? Are they wearing masks? You know, et cetera. So levels of control we never even imagined. So what's going to happen is climate is now going to merge with the virus. Public health and climate activists are already simpatico on all the solutions. John Kerry himself has actually said, the parallels are screaming at us between COVID and climate. You take care of one, you take care of the other. The solutions are the same. Controlling human movement, liberty, freedom, markets. bureaucratic control over every aspect of life. So to answer your question, Jeff, sorry if there's a long answer, it is absolutely one of the top priorities, but I do now think it's second priority. They're not going to give up the virus. Jane Fonda summed it up best. COVID is God's gift to the left, and that's an exact quote from Jane Fonda. And why is that? Because it's given them the levers of control over society, the centralized planning they've sought for at least the last 50 years since the 1960s when they hijacked the environmental movement from conservationists and turned it into every single environmental scare from overpopulation to global cooling on down. Right. All have the same solution of destroying, of getting rid of market economy. So I'm going to say it again. We're in for it, and we have clueless Republicans on Capitol Hill right now, other than a few, people like Senator Inhofe, Senator Rand Paul, or Senator Ted Cruz. Other than that, we are hurting on Capitol Hill.
You heard it there. Mark, folks want to find you. Find you online, anywhere on social media. Where do they look?
Go to climatedepot.com, and my new book is out, Green Fraud, Why the Green New Deal is Worse Than You Think, with a foreword by Mark Stein. We already have activists trying to get Amazon to cancel the book because Amazon shouldn't be promoting climate denial books.
Mark, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Mark Morano, Climate Depot, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. At the floor.